Amen. God bless them. Amen. Praise God. And their little congregation. They're going to teach the Word of God on their level. Praise the Lord. And so they'll be going much deeper than me. Praise God. How many of you love the Word? You know what we need to do? We need to get in the Word so the Word can get in us. Right? A lot of folks are getting toward the end now in reading your Bible again all the way through this year. And we've had folks that have read the Bible through for the very first time. Let's clap our hands to them. I wish I'd counted the years, but I've left off. I like to read my Bible every year. I love to do that. And every year I get more and more from it. And it's an exciting thing. Praise God. And so we're going to bring you some word tonight. And everybody said, Lord, help him. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're seated. Praise God. We're going to look once again in the Word of God at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, where we will launch our key verse. Amen. And so tonight, as we did last Tuesday night, we're going to be talking about wholeness in the Lord. And so we don't want to be partway in the Lord. We want to be whole in the Lord. And in order to be totally whole in the Lord, we need to study the arena of holiness. Amen. This is a topic, and I'm going to tell you something right here. This is a topic that is not covered very much or in very much detail in the religious world anymore. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not because it's not pertinent or important. It's not because it's not paramount, because it is. It's because preachers have given up on the fight. They just have. Because they're afraid of offending someone or hurting someone's feelings. Amen. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I am here to tell you what the Bible says. And then it's up to you to be obedient to the Bible, not me. Don't get it mixed up. Don't leave here tonight saying, I'm not going back to that church because he says you gotta. I didn't say anything. I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. So if you leave and don't come back, let me say you said you're not coming back because of the Word. And honey, if there's ever been a time, all of us, myself included, maybe even more than you, if there's ever been a time we need the Word, we need it now. Amos prophesied that there would be a famine in the land just before the coming of the Lord. And he said it's not going to be a famine of food. It's not going to be a famine of something to wear, money and clothes and things like that. He said it's going to be a famine of the Word. People will not know the Word of God. And honey, if you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to know God. Because he is the Word. Right? Amen. Praise God. And so let's take a journey tonight in a particular subject that it may not be popular, but it's very important. Can you say amen? Praise God. And I do want you to also know that I never teach, nor do I preach a subject matter because certain people are there. I don't do that. I am not here. I was not called of God to come here and pick on you and to mess with you and to stir you and shake you up and get you all upset. But I did get called from God to come and preach the whole Word of God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, Route 66, man. We know that's a popular highway out of California. And all the bikers like to say they rode Route 66. But before I leave this world and before you leave this world, you ought to be able to say you rode Route 66. That's how many books are in this Bible. 66 books. This is a good road to ride. Amen? Praise God. All right. So, I don't think, and I know you don't think, that the world is... is churchy. Am I right? The world is not churchy. And so I don't believe that the church should be worldly, because the two are different. Amen. The two should be different. And so let's look at the key verse, 1 Peter 1:15-16, where the word says, "But as he which hath called you is holy." We know the Lord is holy, right? Then he said, "So be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Holiness is Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Amen. It's going to affect every area of your life, your conversation, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you look, the way you behave, all of that. If we'll let Jesus do what he needs to do on the inside, it will all of a sudden begin to bloom on the outside. Amen. And we will perfect holiness. Praise God. We are not teaching, nor do we preach holiness so that we can say we have it and you don't. Amen. We're preaching it and teaching it because the Bible has it and we need it. Amen. And so, let us move on with caution. Praise God. It's been shown that holiness is separation from sin because it's dedication to God. Holiness is separation from sin so that we can be dedicated to God. There are three foundations for setting standards, and that's Bible, that's morality, and ethics. Amen. Some things are just Bible. You say, well, when the Lord convicts me, how about when the Lord says it? You know? And so some things are just Bible, and if it's Bible, you don't have to pray about it. You just need to do it. And then there's morality. There's things that we just morally should do, because it's a moral thing to do. And then ethics. We need to follow good ethics. Did you know that nowhere in the Word of God does it say you can't roll around in poison ivy? But it's just good ethics that I don't do that. And so, ethics and morality and Bible come into play with all of this holiness stuff and the holiness issues, praise God. And so let's look at Bible standards how it refers to distinction between sexes, male and female. Amen. How many of you still believe God created Adam and Eve? Oh, hallelujah. Wow, I thought we had a long Bible study to teach tonight. Amen. How many of you agree it was not Adam and Steve? Yes. All right. Praise God. I just want to make sure. Amen. This is one of the most important areas of holiness, because the Lord, from the very beginning, wanted to make a distinction between male and female. And so it's also one of the most misinterpreted doctrines in the Word of God. God intends for men to be men and women to be, and the distinction to be very obvious. Look at them and say, I don't know, what do you think? It's just us tonight and the world watching, so I just want to know, have you ever been in that predicament? It's okay to be in that predicament, just don't bet. bet you $5 it's a man. Don't do that. Praise God. Use your ethics. Hallelujah. So, the hair issue in itself in the Word of God is a very, very vital and very important issue. The apparel issue in the Bible is a very, very important issue. They are both parts of a mainstream doctrine that flows through the Word of God. Now, I know that some of you have heard from the religious world that doctrine is not important. That's a lie. The Spirit will draw you, but it takes doctrine to hold you. And if you don't have doctrine, you can't be held because you don't even know what the truth is. Truth is doctrine. Spirit is spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody can feel the presence and the Spirit of God, but not everybody knows the doctrine because that is something that must be learned. That's why the Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There's some things we must know or we will not be able to apply them in our relationship with God. Amen. And that's important, I think. Amen. Praise God. And so both the hair issue is very vital and important, and the apparel issue is very vital. Amen. Because they're both a part of a major doctrine, and that is the doctrine of distinction between sexes, male and female. And so we're going to cover that. Attitude and spirit, apparel, and hair. Praise God. Amen. So let's look at attitude and spirit tonight. Paul introduces the word effeminate. Effeminate. Can you say that? Effeminate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's get that, Brother Soundman. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Look at this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, everybody say, well, I knew that. And then he said, be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of these people, including the effeminate. Now, you can say what you want to, but I honestly believe that some of these guys, they had to work at it. Because, I mean, they just float. And they got that tone about them, you know. I'm just saying. And they got their hands like, I'm just saying, they had to work on that. Well, I'm also just saying, if they come into the church of the living God, they're going to have to reverse the curse. Because the Bible said the effeminate are not going to make it. I didn't say that. The Word of God did. And every church you go to should be preaching the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is, we're talking about holiness. Amen. A love for the Lord and a love for the church and a hate for the world and a hate for the devil. I would to God that people would just hate the devil as much as he hates us. And we'd be doing a whole lot better. Amen. All of this means having or showing qualities generally effeminate, I'm talking about being effeminate, these qualities that generally attribute to women, such as weakness and delicacy. Now, I'm not saying you're weak. Don't get puffed up. I know if you made your mind up, you could be a lumberjack. I'm just saying, amen. The Lord still needs a few good women. Like Uncle Sam needs a few good men. God needs a few good ladies. Amen? And so I want our women to volunteer for that role. Hallelujah. Amen. And stand to the line with a made-up mind that you're going to spend the rest of your life being a lady of God, a woman of God, something to be extremely proud of and happy about. Amen. And that men would be men. And extremely proud and happy about that. Hallelujah. And so it is. According to Paul, effeminacy is among the sins that will keep a person out of the kingdom of God. Titus 2, 1 through 6 gives further insight into the attitude and the spirit that God expects. He wants the men to be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith, charity, love, and patience. The young men are instructed to be sober-minded. And this does not mean it's wrong to have a little fun, but that one should be serious about his salvation and not cling to the irresponsibilities of your childhood. Guess what? When you turn 18, you're not 10 anymore. Men are to be spiritual leaders, right? Amen. Hallelujah. And they are to lead the home. Praise God. And it's far too often the case is reversed. And but let me tell you what the ladies, according to the Word of God, are instructed to do. And that is to lead your children and to love your children to the point that that you are a chaste individual, that you're a very discreet individual, sober and loving and caring for your children and for your husband. Obedient. Amen. This obedience does not insinuate a position of slavery. For each husband is to love his wife just like Christ loves the church. Let me ask you something. Does he love this church? And that's exactly how you should love your wife and your children. Amen. And so, if he does this, he will not inflict hardship upon his wife. She'll sing all day long, "Is there anything I can do?" All you ladies may be seated. The simple truth is that God intended for the man to be the provider and the caretaker and, most importantly, the protector of the home. Amen? Now, I'm a little comical, and I like to have a little bit of fun. And we had those suction cup things that stick to the window, and they're ornaments, and they're pretty. My wife loves them. And occasionally gravity gets a hold of them things and pulls them off the window, and they just kind of splatter on the hardwood floor. That happened one morning. I think it was like 2 o'clock. Of course, we were in bed asleep. I heard that crash. We both rose up at the same time and looked at one another. And I said, "Are you going to go check on that or not?" She said, after she responded like you are, she said, "No, you are." And I never did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I did. And it was one of those ornaments. But the man, it should not shock the wife or the man to be the man. Amen. Hallelujah. On the other hand, the woman is queen of the home, and her spirit will go a long way toward determining the home's atmosphere. And I'm just going to tell you, the woman sets the atmosphere of the home. That's right. Amen. Now, I like wilderness. I like the outside, the woods, animals. I know a little bit about animals. And I know this, when a wolf is the leader of the pack, when they are on the prowl and they're on the hunt and they're stalking an elk or a deer or something like that, I know that leader of the pack, he'll be out front and he'll be scenting that animal, and the whole pack will be following him. But if you'll study, he has a mate. And as long as that mate is the mate to the leader, she will be the only one that has pups. And he leads that. But while he's leading that, you will see him constantly looking back at her. Both sides. He's looking back at her. Making sure that he has her approval. In other words, he's like, doing a good job, ain't I, babe? I'm burning this elk, honey. And he just wants to hear her say, you look so handsome when you're chasing elk like that. That hair up on your neck, Lord. Whew. Those big paws. Oh, my word. Go, baby. You're killing me. That's what happens in a wolf. You didn't even know that, did you? You learned something tonight. This is Bible study, honey. And that's what goes on within that wolf pack. And a little approval every now and then, a little appreciation. Hey, that goes a long way, amen, in a home and in atmosphere, amen. And, you know, if we do vacuum, just tell us every now and then that our hand fits that handle really good. That we're conquering devils with the dirt devil. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I'm just saying, and I know it's a little humorous and we love to have fun, but please take it seriously. Men need to be men in this last generation, and women have got to be women in this last generation. It's something that's got to be accepted. It's the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so, amen, let your little light shine. Praise God. And so it's very pertinent, very, very, very vital, very important. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lover, she's the lover. She's the caregiver of the family and of the children and the atmosphere setter for the home. Amen. So for one to deny the difference between men and women is to deny the very force of nature. Amen. Here's what. I wish all these homosexuals and these lesbians, I wish that they would realize that had it not been for a natural home atmosphere, they wouldn't even be here. How are they arguing their point? They wouldn't even be here. Right? Oh, Lord, somebody say, Jesus, help us. We're struggling down here. Modern society often forces families to accept something that's not even the will of God and to write it off as natural when it is not natural. It takes two incomes for the most part in some homes to survive today, so lifestyle adjustments have to be made to compensate for that. A man should be considerate concerning the work at home and the care of the children, but whatever adjustments are made, one must make sure that he keeps the God-given distinctions clear. It's dangerous to allow these roles to become reversed, especially in the minds of observant children. Confusion in this area has caused children to grow up without having clear and distinct role models. This has greatly aided the rise in homosexuality and lesbianism. And so let's look at apparel. Let me give you a sliver here for a moment. The launching pad for this teaching is in Deuteronomy 22 and 5. We'll get a look at that. Deuteronomy 22 and 5, where the word of the Lord says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. It does not say pants. It says that looks like, that which acts like, that remotely comes close to what a man wears. Look around and see what a man wears. Okay? So, stop with the argument of the pant thing. It doesn't say that, but it says that which pertaineth. Everything that associates with a man, what he wears, is what a woman should not wear. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. I never thought I'd have to preach that, but here we are. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Abomination. Somebody say, wow. Some of you may not even know what that means, but you're still saying, whoa, that don't sound good. And honey, it is not good. It means you are a total, absolute abomination. Amen. You say, well, I've done that all my life. And listen, I'm not saying you're just bad, worldly, terrible person. I'm saying that you should have been taught better. I'm going to tell you a secret. Every denomination, every church under the sun in the past taught that. Baptists used to teach it. Church of God used to teach it. I remember the conference that they had, and they said, we're not going to teach it anymore. In other words, they cut that part out of the Word of God for them. Assembly of God used to teach it. I can go on. Presbyterians used to teach it. A bunch of other ones used to teach it. Hallelujah. But why'd they quit? Because the men behind the pulpit stopped fighting. When it should never have even been a fight. It's a lifestyle. If we're going to live the Word. The Bible says repent. How many of you believe in repentance? We believe in repentance. Okay, since we're in the church now, repentance is a lifestyle. Holiness is in the Word of God. Believe it, let it be a lifestyle. What's the difference between that and repentance? It's the Word of God. We just do it because the Lord wants us to do it, and we're happier because of it and blessed because of it. Am I right? Amen. So let's understand that the implications are very strong here tonight. As was pointed out in the lesson that we gave last weekend, or last Tuesday, anytime the term abomination to God, the Lord, any pronoun referring to God is used, it refers to a moral law of God that never changes. The term is used 24 times in the Old Testament alone, and in each usage it refers to a moral law. Moral. Not one ceremony without moral implication is referred to as an abomination to God. That's why they were done away with. But when God labeled it abomination, it was not done away with. Therefore, it is immoral for a man to wear a woman's garment, and it's immoral for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man or a man's garments. Amen. And I'm serious. If you've never heard that, I apologize. Every man of God that's never taught you that. And it's not your fault. But what we're going to do is give you the Word of God. And we're going to love you so much until you want to come back, and you're going to ask the Lord, is that for me too? And you're going to pray about it. You're going to seek the Lord about it. Honey, you can go to this church and wear pants till the rapture takes place, and we're still going to love you. We're not God. We're not going to judge you. But understand what I'm saying here tonight is God will be the one that judges you. And this is coming from God. Amen? Amen. All right, so it's dangerous to allow these roles to become reversed and this situation to get all backward and out of proportion with God, because it's hard to get it all back. The scripture didn't say that a woman should not wear a man's garment. It says she should not wear anything that could be associated with a man. All right? So let's look at the hair issue. The hair issue, I like this issue because it goes so deep, and it is, I don't know why this issue was done away with in a lot of religious realms, but they should have stayed with it because the hair issue is very important. And I honestly believe that uncut hair on a woman gives her not just glory because of the angels and glory in the presence of God. I believe it gives her power. I really do. I honestly believe that it gives her power. Amen. Now, you say, how long is long? And the Bible doesn't give any distinction about length. Amen. But I'll tell you how long it should be, as long as you don't cut it. Is that good enough? You say it's very short right now. Well, don't cut it no more. And there it is. It's long now. Amen. And it will get that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so 1 Corinthians, and we won't read chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, but mark it, if you will, please. Write it down and take it home over a cup of coffee and reminisce it. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. It explains God's feelings on the matter of authority of hair and its symbol, which is hair. Authority is the actual subject of these verses. Authority. Amen. That means power to me. But one quickly sees that the length of the hair represents that authority. Once again, the distinctive behavior of men and women is the issue. Paul says that hair is the symbol of this place or distinction. The key verse in this passage is verse 15. Hair is given for a covering. Not a physical covering. In other words, you're not supposed to grow enough hair that we can't see you anymore. There goes a lot of hair right there. Man. I mean, there was an old show we watched when we were kids, On the Other Side of Glory, hallelujah. And Adam's Family, I believe it was, and they had It. Oh, you don't know It. It was about that tall, and it was just hair. So we're not asking you to turn into It. It's not a physical covering that this is talking about. It's talking about physical hair. But the covering is a spiritual covering that you will have with God as long as your hair is uncut. Amen? Praise God. And so once this is defined, it can be traced through the verses, all these verses. A man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonors his head. It's not talking about a hat. It's not talking about veils. It's talking about hair. A man should not have long hair. In other words, when he prays with long hair, it's like a woman's covering. You're not a woman. Get rid of the covering. Amen? Please. And so it's all defined. A man, verse 2 identifies the man's head as Christ. Therefore, since hair is the covering spoken of here, a man praying or prophesying with long hair dishonors the Lord. Verse 14 says that even nature teaches that it is what? Somebody help me. Say it out loud. It is a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a dishonor to Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a Christian in the world that sincerely, really wants to live being a dishonor or a shame to the Lord. So they need to hear good teaching. Amen. From the Word of God. If a woman prays, the Bible says, or prophesies with her head uncovered, and this distinctively means with her hair cut, she dishonors her head because the head of the woman is the man. And you're dishonoring yourself and you're dishonoring your husband. Wow. To step out of this creative order of authority is a sin and creates confusion. The angels stepped out of this creative order and were expelled from heaven. That's why the Bible says, because of the angels, Satan cut himself off from being that covering angel for the Lord. He cut himself off. And when he did that, the Lord cast him to the ground. And it said, because of the angels, when a woman cuts her hair, the moment hair hits the floor, she has dishonored her God, just like Satan did. It's your covering. It's your glory. And you should honor it, protect it, and keep it. Amen. Hallelujah. And let it flow naturally. Let it be natural. There's nowhere in the scripture where it says, thou shalt have purple hair. Green. It is in the Word of God where it says you cannot dye your hair white or black. It says that the hoary head, that means a hair that's growing gray, shows forth wisdom to the younger generation. And if you you fight against that, you're kicking against God. It's a natural thing with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's very quiet in here, and I'm going to move on very quickly. Praise God. Verse 14 says that even nature teaches you that. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. If a woman prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, she dishonors her head, which is her husband. To step out of this, the angel stepped out of creative order. Therefore, a woman should have long hair because, the Bible says, of the angels. Her long hair is a glory to her. The word shorn simply means to cut. Amen. The true meaning of long hair in this passage is simply uncut hair. It's the same concept used in the vow of the Nazarite. While a person was under the Nazarite vow in the Old Testament, it cannot continue to grow and be cut at the same time. Your hair, it can't grow and be cut at the same time. The proper interpretation of these verses is that a man's hair should be short and cut, and a woman's hair should be long and uncut. That this teaching concerning the hair and authority was consistent throughout the church of God. It needs to be consistently taught today as it was back then. God wants men to be men, women to be women, and the distinction between the two to be obvious. Amen. Right? Amen. We're nearly done, but let's talk about, let me give you a sliver about built-in alarm systems. Built-in alarms. Amen. People who are filled with the Holy Ghost have this built-in alarm system about them, which warns them of evil. It just does. Even people without the Holy Ghost have a conscience sometimes that will warn them if they will just heed to it and listen to it. A good principle is set forth in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. We won't read it. A lot of scripture here tonight, but Philippians 2, 12 through 16, write that down, please. Take it home, study it. One is to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, I don't want you to do what I'm telling you to do because I said it. I want you to do it because the Word of God is saying it to you. And trust me, what the Word of God says to me, it says to everybody. And what it says to you, it says to me. There's no private interpretation. Amen. Don't leave saying, well, I'm going to do that stuff because Pastor said that. You're not getting the point. You leave doing it tonight because the Word of God said to do it. Therefore, you're not being obedient to me, but you're being obedient to God. Right? Amen. And so, this scripture doesn't give an individual the license to ignore Bible truth. That's not what that scripture means. Amen. Everyone has got to have a Bible salvation. I can't work that out for you. You've got to work that out for yourself. Am I right? But it must be Bible salvation and not salvation from imagination or salvation from a doctrine that was made up or half-truth and not the whole truth. It simply lets you know that you have to make some choices and decisions about actions and do this very soberly and with a deep conscience. It is God who works within each man, causing him to desire to do the Lord's good pleasure. That's why I want you to take time and pray about it. Amen. Just pray about it. Seek God about it and see what the Lord says about all of this. Amen. But you would not know what to pray about had I not taught it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. So if he makes good decisions, if an individual makes good decisions, they're going to remain blameless in an evil generation. Amen. You're going to be singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so it is. Let me cover just a couple more points real quick. Are you okay? Good. All right. We're going to talk about, for just a moment, tobacco usage, drugs, alcoholic beverages, everything's bending. People are getting upset. Pastors are marrying gay couples, and preachers are drinking, and they've got special smoking areas so they can smoke before they go to the pulpit, and all of this stuff. Why are preachers letting down? Why are they forsaking? Why are they forgetting? Why are they stopping and not preaching like they should anymore? Because the last days are here. Amen. And everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything that can be deceived is going to be deceived. And everything that can be pushed aside by the devil in the flesh is going to be pushed aside. But not so the apostolics of Landmark. If it's right when the Lord said it's right, it's right. When it's wrong, when the Lord said it's wrong, it is wrong. And if it was then, it still is now. Praise God. Amen. So everybody should abstain from all tobacco. We know where that would take you. We know where that can lead you. We know what that does for you and to you and your body and all that. Besides that, my Lord, man, you could make a new car payment if we could get over the addiction of tobacco. And don't you even try to tell me it tastes good because I was a smoker. Don't take me there because I've been there. Amen. Try menthol. I did. But it did take the Holy Ghost for me to get rid of that. And it took the Holy Ghost for many of you. It took a long time for many of you. We loved you right in all the way through it. Praise God. We're not here to bash people. I don't bash people. I love people. God wouldn't have called me to preach if I didn't love people. I love people. Amen. I just hate the things the devil tries to do to them. And I'm going to preach against what he's trying to do so we can fight that fight and win this war. Amen. And so let's do away with tobacco. Let's do away with illicit drugs. Drugs we don't even need. Drugs we don't even know what they are. People are popping stuff nowadays and they don't, and alcoholic beverages. It's just, just playing with the mind. There's nothing as depressant as alcohol. I grew up in an alcoholic home and I know what I'm saying. My dad was a great man. Still is a great man, and he's still alive today, and he'll tell you he shouldn't have done the things he done. But why don't you come home Friday night, Dad, and come in, read a newspaper, sit down with the family around the table and eat instead of sleeping under the house, instead of hiding in the barn, wine bottles everywhere, instead of coming home and beating the wife up and the kids too if they get in the way. Hello? And so is alcohol something we should argue about? I don't believe it's wrong. I believe it's all right. Come on, really? I know it's not the same day it used to be, and it's a new day and a new time, but we're not serving a new God. He's the same God. Add to this list any chemical substance capable of causing addiction. Also, prudence, being very careful and mindful in using prescription drugs is, let me advise you about that, please. Amen. Abstaining from these things is based on both moral and ethical considerations. The moral factor is that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and anything that destroys or harms it should be avoided. Paul said, listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, Brother Sound Man. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. Paul said that all things were lawful. All things are lawful for him. But he would not be brought under the power of anything. Do you get that? He said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, it's not against the law to pop Oxycontin. In some states now, it's not against the law to smoke pot. So these things are legal. But Paul said, even though they're legal, I will not let them come unto me and cause me to be addicted and cause me to be afflicted, because I know what God says. I know how God feels about it. I know what God thinks about it, and I could care less about the law. The ethical reason for this stand is the effect that these practices have on society. I'm just telling you, families are broken because of drugs. They're broken because of addictions. They're broken because of these things. That is not the will of God. And so if it's not the will of God, let's get rid of the cause. No one can be a guiding witness to others if they're not an overcomer themselves. How can we help others overcome if we're not overcomers? Or if we don't even want to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to go to Hollywood for a little while now. And I know that's America's baby. But I just, I have to go to that area. And because that's where we are today. We don't talk about this stuff every night. Some of you have probably been in church 2 years and you haven't heard me talk about it yet. This is not all we talk about, but tonight's the night. Glad you're here. Amen. All movies are not sinful and destructive to the human mind. However, most of them are filled with sex, violence, drugs, and other ungodly influences. Throughout the years, the theater has developed an image that is totally opposite of that which the church desires to project. And so we ask our people to stay out of theaters. And I know Alice in Wonderland may be playing this week, and then next week it would be Freddy did 98. You know, I mean, one day it's Cinderella and the next day they're cutting heads off and committing adultery, and it's just stay out of there and not let your good be evil spoken of. Amen. As that, if you stay out of there, that way somebody said, I saw you in there in that Freddy Krueger movie, I saw you in there watching all that X-rated, that R-rated, that all that bad. No, you didn't. I haven't been in there at all. I wouldn't. You just tell them I wouldn't go in there to watch Cinderella. Amen. Let's just take a stand right there. I know others do it, but this, we're not others. Hello? We're not here to chase things. We're here to lead stuff. Amen. They go out of here and their standards drop and they lose a lot of stuff and go the other way. That's their business. But as for me in this house, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you some other things. I know the internet's out there and technology is out there and you can hear most anybody preach you want to preach. Now you're just hearing them preach. You're not living with them as they pastor. Amen. So if you want to get high and mighty and your standards are so much more than ours, you go for it. But just remember, some of those great men of God that you're chasing after, I know what they listen to on the radio and I know what they watch in their homes. You need one pastor and you're looking at him right now. Don't you get to following every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there and come in here and cause a bunch of confusion when you don't really know them at all and you don't even know who they are. You don't know them. You heard one sermon. You heard one message. They've changed your life and they're the greatest thing that ever, and you don't even know them, but I know them. I've lived in their homes. I've preached in their churches, and I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to go into detail because I'm not going to touch God's anointed, but I'm going to tell you right now, what we're doing is good enough until I hear something else from Jesus Christ. Don't you be looking at me like I'm half backslidden. You don't even know what you're talking about. And you don't even know who you're talking about. Hallelujah. Ring the bell, somebody. Praise God. And so it is. You know, all of this is moral and ethical, and all of this is being trustworthy and considerate of others, and your light to shine and your example, and what pleases God. Somebody say that out loud. What pleases God? It's not always about what I need, what I want, what I gotta have, and Lord, me. Hey, what about Him sometime? Because this is a relationship. Amen. I should want to please Him as much as I want Him to please me. Thank you for responding like that. That's landmark. I love this church. I love this church. Praise God. Even though there's good entertainment out there and all of that, both moral and ethical reasoning suggests that a total separation from the theater is the best policy. Amen. One can find a good piece of meat in the trash can. Am I right? Yeah. Hang out at the back of Hardee's. You see what they throw in there. But the atmosphere is not really conducive to eating there or out of there. And so let's stay away from those atmospheres. We don't need them. We don't have to have them. We're too busy for them. Amen. Also, since most movies are based on books, it's wise for a person to use discretion in their choice of reading material. It's not a movie, and then every word that's really not supposed to even be a word is in there, and you don't read that. You don't read that. All right? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about dancing, since you brought it up. I'm glad you brought that up. Right? Do you know where dancing came from? It came from heaven. Spirit of dancing came from the Lord. When the devil was cast down, he tried to steal it from God. He's put it in bars. He's put it in every kind of arena that you could imagine. Somebody told me not long ago when T.D. Jakes was preaching that a ballerina busted out of the balcony and started doing her twisty thing all over the place, like she was doing that for God. Really? Painted like a circus clown with about 10% of her clothes on, and that was for God? The whole thing shut down and got quiet, and she was the only one doing her thing, and all eyes were on her, of course. The enemy stole it, and he's trying to put it in the church, and it will not come in here. When we dance, we will dance before the Lord. When we worship, we will worship before the Lord. Amen. You may not do it like I do it. I might not do it like you do it, but we're going to do it for the glory of God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, and we need to be careful about worldly entertainment, worldly music, and all of that. Listen, you don't need to hear them crying in their suit. You don't need to hear them talking about how they lost their dog, their pickup, and their third wife. And somebody said, you know, you want to hear a country music song backward? They said, yeah. And they said, I got my wife back. I got my dog back. I got my truck back. Hey, let's stay away from that stuff. Praise God. And let's listen to good, solid gospel music and worship the Lord all day long. Does that make sense? I don't even know what I'm talking about now. I don't listen to it, and I don't know who's who or what's what. But listen, praise God. You know, there's alternatives now. And every church preaches whatever they preach, and they have a right to do so, I guess, and just do what you're, because the United Pentecostal Church is not a denomination, it is an organization, amen. And so we preach from the Word of God and hope that it works for the whole team. And we don't fight one another so we can keep the unity until the Lord comes, amen, hallelujah. But I'm telling you what we're preaching here at Landmark, amen. There are alternatives to Hollywood, praise the Lord. Amen. And so as soon as you get able, cut the cable. There's no reason for HBO to be filtered in your home. Cinemax, I don't even know if they still have Cinemax. Anything that, you know, you can just go there when the kids are gone, the wife's gone, or when the kid's gone, the husband's gone, and you can go in there and watch anything you want to watch. Hello? Amen. Get rid of that. There's alternatives. Amen. That you can buy for, I don't know, $8 a year, whatever it is. Amen. And you can go back to Mayberry. You can go back to the Lone Ranger. And you can go, hello, yeah. Amen. You'd be like that little old lady that stood up one time. I guess it was the first time she ever saw a Lone Ranger. She stood up and she said, my husband and I was watching a Lone Ranger. This little girl was burning in her house. And she said, I took my husband by the hand. We prayed. And lo and behold, that Lone Ranger came just in time. Well, if she was here tonight, I would tell her she can't even watch the Lone Ranger. Amen. But there are people that are so addicted to Hollywood until what I'm saying right now is so foreign to them, they're saying, oh boy, that's it right there. I can't do that. No way. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get family entertainment in there like you. And listen, if it ain't right for the kids to watch it, why is it right for you to watch it? What is this adult rating thing? Hello? If my kids shouldn't watch it, should I watch it? I don't believe in that stuff. Amen. Listen, I'm just telling you right now. Amen. Let's just take the holiness. Amen. I'd rather get to heaven and the Lord laughing at me and say, look, Bo, you didn't have to do all that stuff. than to hear him say, you lack one thing. You missed one thing. You missed one little thing. Honey, you missed up on one thing. And you say, well, the Lord loves me so much, he wouldn't look at me and say, you missed one thing. He'd say, come on in here. You did most things, right? I got word of God for what I'm telling you tonight. What did he tell that rich young ruler? Somebody tell me what he told the rich young ruler. He said, go and do this, and you can come in, and you can follow me. And he wouldn't do it, and he didn't get to follow him. One thing. One thing. This one thing thou lackest. Praise God. I want to go overboard. I just want to go overboard. I just want to give him everything he wants and then give him more. Hallelujah. Amen. That way when I get there, hopefully everything will be all right. This is very, very serious business. This is so much more than I believe in Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. It is so much more than that. Why would he give us 66 books, all of that in here, if all I had to do is say, Christ is my Savior? Amen. All right. I didn't mean to get so deep and so into it, but, you know, I enjoy talking about holiness because I think I know how it makes the Lord feel. He loves holiness. He is holy. And he said, so be ye holy, for I am holy. Right? Amen. So what do? We cut the ropes to all the alternatives. Amen. But all I do is watch the news. That might not be all your kids do when you're not there. Get the news on the radio or somewhere else. Praise God. Amen. Let's make some changes. However, anything that will harm a child will harm an adult as well. Amen. Would somebody forbid a child to take poison and then justify taking some himself simply because he's an adult? I'm adult. I drink poison. You don't touch it. Isn't that what we're doing in the adult world? Amen. Hallelujah. We can talk about the computer. Don't get rid of your computer, but handle it. There's people in here that could work your job without a computer. Coming down in the last day to where it's personal ethics, personal holiness, personal righteousness walking with God, and personal convictions. I didn't say, that's right, that's right, that's right. I didn't say individual holiness, individual righteousness. I said personal. Amen. When righteousness becomes personal to you, it's going to be the same righteousness that's personal to me. When holiness becomes personal to you, it's the same holiness that is personal to me. Because the Lord wants us to be alike for the kingdom of God's sake. Let's stand together. Paul said that all things are lawful, but they're not expedient. In other words, it might not be against the law, but it don't make sense for me to get involved with it. Amen. Because I'm not going to let that thing get a hold of me. Here's the deal. Every person sits in the driver's seat, and his pursuit of holiness depends on his desire for God and God's righteousness. Holiness is beautiful. It does not consist of laws and regulations. But what holiness consists of is a pure and a meek spirit. It is God's desire that all Christians will learn to praise Jesus in the beauty of holiness. So pray about it. Seek God about it. Understand the Lord about these things. Amen. And all of this will come to you. And it will profit you. And it will be such a major blessing to you and your family and all of those that you're reaching out to. Praise God. Amen. Someone told me tonight, just before church started, they said they were at the hospital praying for someone with cancer. While they were praying and talking to that individual about the plan of salvation, a Baptist pastor was sitting over there. And she noticed that he just, everything she said about repentance, he would just shake his head, yep. She talked about water baptism in Jesus' name. He said, yep, yep. She talked about the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And he said, yep. And so she wasn't getting much response from the person that was sick, but the Baptist pastor was all over it. And finally, when she was done, he said, where do you go to church? She told him, he said, can I get the name and the address and the phone number? He said, I got to come and visit that church. It's a hungry world out there. I said, it's a hungry world out there. And if there's somebody that doesn't, there's 100 others that will. And we have got to reach them and feel that responsibility, because it's not just about us, but it's about this world that needs the Lord. And there's hungry people out there. They're beautiful people. Amen. Beautiful people that need God so desperately. Praise God. Amen. They just don't know. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Jesus, we thank you tonight for this opportunity. Praise you for this privilege. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord, no matter what it says. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to put it deep in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, O Lord. Walk with us, talk with us, share with us. Lord, let me never get to the place that I do not want to know more, and that I do not want to stretch into what you need me to be for the kingdom of God on this earth. I pray your will be done, Lord, in our lives, our hearts, and our souls. Lord, let love flow, God, from the Word of God tonight. Let the spirit of good flow from the Word of God tonight. And let this people know that you care for them more than the breath of air that you breathe, so much that you were crucified. Jesus, your will again, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. God richly bless you tonight as you're dismissed.